How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Look at this, a new episode, and it's not even Friday yet. I'm Josh Soroka, bringing you some more clips from the Chad Duke Show. And I know it's not Friday. Maybe once in a while we'll get you some extra feeds in here, even on other days. Because last week there was so much content that I felt like we needed another episode. And it's so much content that you guys really need to be subscribed over at ChadDukeShow.com. Today we're going to take a look at Chad Dukes versus the World, Episode 2. If you're not familiar, it's a four-hour stream that Chad does with four different guests. And right now he's averaging about once a month. So you need to be subscribed at ChadDukeShow.com to get all the content. I'm going to share with you about 10 minutes with each guest. And here's how it's going to go tonight. First up is Drab T-shirt. Now, I know people ask Chad all the time how Drab's doing. And Chad can answer that once in a while. But how often do we get an Oscar update? That snuck into this segment, so I've got to share that with you here. We've also got Big Dane coming up, and he's going to talk about how safe his neighborhood really is. Then we're going to talk a little bit of fighting with MMA fight-in David Martin. And then we'll get with Jay Chandrasekhar to talk about what's going on with him, and perhaps news to me, that he almost directed a superhero movie. So we're just going to jump right into that. Segment after segment after segment, I will leave you be. Make sure you are subscribing to ChadDukeShow.com if this is something you like.
And I felt like a little schoolboy a couple weeks ago. You know that giddy feeling when you're like you've been waiting for something and or you're just a little bit excited. So I lied to my family last two Sundays ago. I told my family I was going to church. Okay.
How gullible is your family?
Well, I do go some. I go like every other week. A lot of times by myself because my kids are just a pain in the butt. Sometimes I take them. My wife's not Catholic, but my kids. It's just hard, right? They're just turned four, but it's still kind of hard to take them, and it's a huge pain in the ass. So I told them I was going to church by myself. I got in, I peeled out of my driveway on two wheels, and I drove straight to the Centerville Theaters, the Cinemark. God, that place is awesome.
They're ratchet. I mean, I can't believe that's the one you go to.
It was the only place with a 9:55 showing. Everywhere else was open at 11:30.
So you lied about going to worship the Lord, and you went to the Cinemark in fucking Centerville?
I told my family I was going to the 10 a.m. Mass and then to Costco. And I went to the Cinemark, and that place hasn't been touched since the day they remodeled it 25 years ago, right?
Sure.
And I went. I actually here's the part that made me feel guilty. I went to Conclave because I wanted to see the Catholic movie. So I
you
skipped
went
Catholic
to go see. It isn't that shitting all over the Catholics, like all the Catholics.
I know. I didn't really know that till the end. There's a big twist at the end. I think it's a big F you to the Catholic Church.
Of course it is.
I want to see the inner workings of the Vatican.
By the way, make that fucking movie about anything to do with Islam. Make it about Jews, anything else. The only fucking punching bag they'll use is the Catholic Church and all these. You couldn't figure out what that was going to be. I'm guessing kid touching came up.
Not really. Maybe, but that wasn't the big twist. I'm not going to say the to it because it is a good movie.
I thought we
liked those guys. I thought we liked those actors.
I do. Is it Guy Fieri? Who's the guy in that movie? Ralph Fiennes, the Red Dragon.
Ralph Fiennes, and I don't think that's how you say his name, but
yeah, that's how you say his name.
And Stanley Tucci.
I like those guys.
Me too.
I'm just saying the second.
Guys.
Bro, the second you saw a trailer where they're criticizing Catholicism, weren't you just like, okay, this is just of the same?
I told you, I want to see the inner workings of the vote. I guess, and for the white smoke and all that, for the pomp and circumstances. I'm a big fan. And then, of course, at the end, it was a big middle finger to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
All right, I run to that theater by my. I run inside. I ditch my family. I ditch church. I get big popcorn. I'm running down that hallway, skipping. I'm taking a big leak by myself. I was so excited. I don't know. There's something about the movie theaters that until the day I die, dude, because I will love it. I'll be the last patron. I don't care.
I go there every week. I try to see a movie every single week. I'm with you. It's sad to me that not only do you have to blaspheme to go see a movie, but you have to lie to everybody that you care about to make it happen. Whereas at the conclusion of this fucking show, if I wanted to, I could go see a movie. Tomorrow, if I wanted to, I can go see a movie before I do my show. Like, it just bums me out that, like, you've shackled yourself to this new life.
A lot has changed. As soon as I hit leave on this Zoom box here, Dukes, I'm going to take my kids to soccer practice. That's the new life. Love it or leave it.
Is it everything you hoped it would be? I mean, I do remember you saying this is what you wanted, that you wanted a shitload of kids and to be miserable all the time.
Some days it's really, really hard, but the payoff is pretty good a lot of times too. So I don't know. It's more fulfilling, but much more of a pain in the ass, if that makes sense.
There's a lot of insurance claims being fulfilled around that place. I know that much.
Speaking of miserable life. Cakes told me today that Oscar Santana is back living at his mom's house.
Get the fuck out of here.
Nah, I don't know any details. Now, look, he did this on the air. So he was like, he was talking about Kevin. Remember, Cakes always talks about his neighbor Kevin, the manly Kevin. And he was talking about his neighborhood. He goes, and Oscar Santana's back living at his mother's house. He didn't say maybe his wife Shannon's that. I don't know. I think he said their house is being remodeled, or they sold a house or something. I don't know. But I know the Oscar's back on, what's that, Cashel Lane?
Cashel Road.
Cashel Road, yeah.
I've never met a DJ, much less two DJs, that said the name of the road they live on more than those two nudniks. I mean, they fucking, the only other one was John Norman. He loved to live in Cat Harpin.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Dunnigan.
Does that make you a little happy that Oscar's living at his mom's house?
I guess. I don't know. I would hope it's not for health reasons. That's the only way it's not hilarious, like if he's taking care of his sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah. If he's just living at his parents' house again, especially after, is that not the house where she would rub the Robitussin on his chest and comment whether or not he had too much chest stubble after shaving it?
Yeah, and all the dead relatives on the mantle.
Yeah.
I hope this is because he's made that horrible decision all those years ago to move to Georgetown to buy that shoebox that needed restoration. I mean, by the way, how many times has he remodeled that house? This is going to be the seventh time. I mean, he was doing that years ago.
Yeah, but we always said about him, it's about the zip code. It's about saying I live in Georgetown. It's nothing else to do with actual functionality or that. I mean, Oscar's a lot of things. He's not a man of many passions. As a matter of fact, other than like himself, I can't name one passion that he has. So like where he lives, where he works, the zip code that he operates in, where he vacations, I would think that's the most important thing to him. But moving back in with your parents' house would fly in the face of all of that, would it not? You want to call him real quick?
Oh, come on. We're just riffing. I thought we were having a good time.
We are, but if Oscar is next door to Cakes' house and we're both here, I would like to get to the bottom of it. Just call him real quick.
I texted him. I don't want to bother him.
You're not bothering him.
I'm not a big silly. You call him.
I'm going to call him.
Yeah, put him on speakerphone. Tell him he's on speakerphone.
All right, I'll call him.
You're on here.
Thank you, Mike. Don'tSleepEnergy.com is the website. Duke's promo code. Don't use the bit season promo code. Cakes, you're on the show right now.
Driving in my car through my town. What's up, buddy?
All right, so Drab says that he's not a big enough silly to call you and ask you this, so I'm going to ask you. Is it true what you said on the Junkie show this morning that Oscar Santana has moved back into his parents' house next door to your house?
No, that was so controversial. All right. Let me just preface this by saying I'm not 100% sure of this intel that I'm giving. Okay.
Okay.
Because I had talked to my wife and I was like, I've seen Oscar a lot, like at his mom's house. Like, I hope he, like, my first inclination is maybe his mom is doing well. He's moving in to help, like, you know, look after his mom. I have no idea. And she looked at me like I was an alien. She's like, no, like I think his house is getting redone and he's moving back with his mom for a few months. So that's the intel that I, that's all I'm going.
Oh, that makes me, it makes me so happy, Cakes, because now I can laugh about it. If it was somebody was sick, like, I wouldn't want that. But if his cheap ass is just moving back into his parents' house rather than, like, renting a condo, that is fucking hilarious.
See, and again, I didn't know this was such big, explosive, incendiary news. I was unaware of this. And again, I'm not the best source of information. This is like third or fourth hand information. So again, this intel is very flawed, but that's what I'm going on at this point.
Are you willing to go over there, knock on the door, and see if he comes to the front door, nothing but a towel?
Home, I would go do that, but I'm literally driving like away from my house. I mean, I guess I could do that when I returned. Running an errand, like, I guess I could do that.
Yeah, if Oscar was my new neighbor, I'd drive away from my house too. Yeah, that'd be great. if you don't mind going over there and, like, well, I'll still be on, you know, but you could just text Drab and let him know. I just would like confirmation. That would be fantastic news.
Okay, I mean, but if I do go, like, and he's there, then does that confirm like what I've been saying? I don't even know.
I just need you to go there and say, hey, are you living here now? Just say that.
I could certainly do that for you, yes. I'm your boots on the ground. You're on for Santana's possibly temporary residence.
You're the Oscar, the big O whisperer. All right, Cakes, that's all I needed. Thank you so much. That's fantastic. Thank you, Flakes.
No problem. I'm going to come on and give possibly faulty information to the big O and Dukes. To the Chad Dukes audience.
Yeah, Drab just resigned, by the way. You'll find out about it. Check DCR TV. Thanks, buddy. Later. Hey, Drabby, that was worth all the bad connections. You all right? Your headphone just fell out of your ear there.
No, I got you. I can hear you. That's great news, isn't it? A couple months. And we know if a couple months probably means 8 months a year.
The best news you could have possibly given to me. Now, the question is if Cakes goes over there and he's not rebuffed, do we go to a Big O and Duke show from Oscar's parents' house since he's living there again?
Of course. That's the comeback that the perfect scenario, right?
How quickly?
Pick up Mankini.
Was that the mini horse one too? Wasn't there a mini horse involved in that
mini
show?
Mini horse there. There was the inflatable punch. Then we have the sumo wrestlers in the front yard.
How quickly would he say he has to check with his partners if we asked him to do that? I mean, it would be instantaneous, right?
Of course, yeah. If he had 1 ounce of radio instincts left in him, he would agree to it.
We do it in two. We could just do one of them, you know, and then we could charge $1,000 a ticket for people to come in there because there's only going to be 11 tickets sold.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday. Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And you had an event somewhere in Fairfax. I can't remember where exactly, but I came out and he was there for the first time and I walked up on him and he looked me up and down. He goes, you're a big motherfucker. Like, he just said, just, I was like, this dude was playing with NFL linemen. Like,
yeah.
He was kind of looking at me like, you're a monster. And I was like, yeah, thanks, man. That was after, and if you remember, my first celebrity experience is when he played for the team. I went to training camp, and he embarrassed me because he came to the side of the field for the to give autographs, and I was screaming like a little, like just like a. I mean, it was so embarrassing. I'm like, LeVar, please, please. And he looks directly at me, and he goes, LeVar, please, please, just mocking me endlessly. And I said, I knew, and that, you know what, I deserve that. Like, I'm acting like a bitch right now.
How many people were around when he did that?
Oh, thousands. I mean, it was at the peak of his career. Everybody else was screaming, but like, I think I'm like 18, 20 at that. I can't remember. And I'm just screaming for this grown man to beg and plead for him to autograph something for me. And he just mocks me in front of everyone, and everybody laughed at me mercilessly, as they should.
That's fantastic. I always love that you're willing to tell that story.
Yeah. I mean, it was very embarrassing.
Art Monk told me to get fucked one time when I was a kid.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was a celebrity softball game, and I asked him for an autograph, and he goes, "We're not doing that right now. Get out of the way." I was like, oh.
I think he was notoriously like a dick, right? Or maybe like just quiet.
I know I wasn't a fan. It's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah. So of course I have my, I've had a couple of incidents since I've been here, unfortunately. So the first one, I park my Kia Optima, my faithful Kia. Oh,
still?
Yeah, still. We're getting close to getting an SUV, but I left it in the driveway, and I come out one morning, and the back window is just completely shattered.
Oh, no.
Because the Kia boys, Kias and Hyundais, they attempt to hotwire them and steal the vehicle, but luckily mine wasn't the appropriate year. Because it's a push to start.
Is that a real thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a real thing here. Like, all they do, they steal Kias and Hyundais all day because they're easy to break into. But mine, I guess fortunately, it wasn't the right year, so they tried to get in and steal it.
Oh, shit. Look at this. 11-year-old Kia boy arrested for alleged month-long crime spree.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's a whole thing where they just target Kias and Hyundais specifically. And luckily, mine was fine. So that wasn't the big deal. The worst problem, though, is it was 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and I took my son to soccer practice, and I come back home, and I go to my master bedroom, and I look on the ground, and I notice like popcorn. Like, I'm saying, what, like, why did my wife leave popcorn on the side of the bed, like on the side of, like, what is she doing? Right. And I look up at the ceiling, and I notice there's a hole in my ceiling. I'm like, well, I'm not a gun owner yet anyway.
Don't say that. You should never let people know if you do or do not have a firearm, Dave.
I didn't say we didn't have one in the house, but no, I'm just kidding. I look on the ground, and I notice a bullet that is just next, like on the carpet.
What?
There's a bullet on the carpet on my wife's side of the bed. So somebody
cleared. Casing or a full round? Like, was the projectile still in it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was okay. So it's clear that somebody like shot a gun in the air. It was a windy day.
Oh.
And I think it just came down on my ceiling and went to my floor. So now I have a bullet hole in my master bedroom.
Holy shit, dude.
So yeah, that was pretty scary. But I mean, you're more of a gun enthusiast than I am. Do you think that could have hurt anybody?
Fuck, like, yeah. People die from that shit all the time.
Like going through the ceiling and coming down? Dude,
I mean, in south side of Chicago, where there's like that four blocks that accounts for like all the murders in the whole city. It's like incredibly violent. They have these holidays where they go out and they shoot the guns off in the air. Motherfuckers die all the time because they all come down, especially if it's those bigger calibers.
Yeah,
yeah, so man. I can't believe it came all the way through. So it went through your shingles. And it went through the insulation.
These houses don't really have. It's like a flat surface up top, so it's like. Wow. Yeah, I mean,
why aren't you more scared? I mean, that is actually sounds terrifying to me.
No, I was for a few days, but I realized it was probably some dumb. I mean, it's stupid either way. But at first I was worried it was something targeted. You know what I mean? But then I realized I don't think nobody's targeted us or anything like that. Nobody cares. I think some idiot was just passing by. We live on a somewhat. Close to a main street. I think somebody just out their window put a gun, put it in the air and shot him up in there.
Yeah, that's 100% what happened, but it's still terrifying because that would be so goddamn random. No, don't, whatever you do, don't Google stories about that particular set of circumstances.
Now I'm gonna freak out again.
Yeah, you'll freak out way more. Is it that bad a neighborhood, Dane?
No, I'm telling you, it's a nice neighborhood, man.
It's a nice neighborhood.
But to be fair, a few months later, I was walking to the mailbox, and this woman, she was like, "Did anybody break into your car?" I was like, "No, not today. It was a few months ago." She was like, "I thought this was the nice part of town." I'm like, "Oh, no, it's clearly not." No.
When I got to Phoenix, my car got stolen the first week I was there for that very same reason. And then that's when we moved the fuck up out of that joint. We did. There was bum fights. There was celebrity. I mean, there's been some crazy box. Butterbean has fought forever. Like, there's a lot of pearl clutching about Jake Paul. I for one, as douchey as he can be, I really have respect for on a baseline perspective. And I think you and I have talked about this. He was already rich. He was already famous. And now he's signed up to do something where, best case scenario, you have to diet and work out and train, and then you get beat up. And it's mano a mano, and if you lose, the entire world is going to come crashing down on top of you. And yeah, I get it. He's selecting his opponents, and he's doing this in an unconventional way. But there's a lot of ways for Jake Paul to make money without him getting the shit beat out of him. And he's chosen this way. So I give him that respect. In 10 years, when this is over with, when the Paul brothers aren't doing this, and I don't know if any of these other internet guys are still going to be after it, how are we looking back on this for the sport of boxing? Does it bring new fans? Like, are the YouTube fans that come in here and watch him fight Mike Tyson, do they somehow take an interest in pugilism, and now they're buying random pay-per-view cars? I don't think that's the case. I think these people take a bite. Like, the Brock Lesnar, I know, brought fans to the UFC. I don't think this is that.
Yeah, I don't know that Jake's really bringing new fans to boxing, but I will say this. You know, I was at his fight here in Ohio when he fought in Cleveland. He fought Tyron Woodley, and I was at the event, and I had never seen an audience skewing that young. Like, there were a lot of, like, 16-year-old, 17-year-old kids there to watch Jake Paul. People, their parents brought them. Like, that's, like, the age group. It was like a R-rated movie where you had to get your parents to come with you to go see it. It was shocking. I've been to a ton of UFC events, and, yes, the UFC skews younger than boxing typically, but even then you're talking about 23, 24, 25-year-old people. These were, like, 17, 16-year-old kids, 14-year-old kids. I was shocked. So, in that regard, it's good. And also, listen, you can hate on the influencer boxing stuff all you want, but people care. And all that matters is, do people care? Are people going to want to watch it? Do people want to see these clips? Do people want to watch these events? I don't really care whether you like it or not. People are tuning in to watch it. I know, because I write about it. Do I love all the influencer boxing stuff? No. But can I tell you without an absolute zero irony here, that I've written articles and recaps for fights involving Jake Paul, KSI, guys like that, that have blown away the amount of people who care about Terrence Crawford or sure. even a Canelo fight. So, like it or not, people care. So, 10 years from now, how are we going to remember this? I don't know. I mean, again, it depends on, do people still want to do it? I mean, who would have imagined Jake Paul and Logan Paul fighting a couple other influencers on a YouTube card, whatever it was, 5 years ago, would spawn into where there's literally a promotion now started by KSI that's just influencer boxing. Who could have imagined? And they got to deal with DAZN. I mean, who could have imagined it going that way? So who knows where it's going to go? My only criticism of Jake Paul, my only like comment about Jake Paul, and we've talked before, I don't care. Like, I don't have a problem with what Jake Paul's doing. My only criticism would be stop pretending you want to do this seriously,
right?
Because he says all the time, I'm going to be a world champion, I'm going to fight Canelo, I'm going to do all this. Dude, you went from Anderson Silva to Nate Diaz to Tommy Fury, who is basically an influencer boxer at this point, to a couple no-name random journeymen that you knocked out in like 8 seconds, and then you fight Mike Perry, and now you're fighting a 58-year-old Mike Tyson. Just stop being, I'm going to be serious, I'm going to be a world champion. Dude, do what you're doing. I got no problem doing what you're doing, but stop pretending that this is a serious career, because it's not.
I'd like to see him fight Mike Perry in the BKFC. That's what I'd like to see, because I think that fight goes incredibly different. If he's taking a pro wrestling carnival barking side to it, I get it, but I'm with you. It's like, that's clearly not the end game here. The end game is this, and there's plenty of other fights that he can probably get that aren't the name of Tyson's level, but you can continue doing it. I also don't mind, now this is a completely different topic, Damon, but having a bunch of young people looking at influencers and say, this is how I want to become famous. This is how I want to get rich. I want to stare at my phone all day. I want to review food. I don't know if that's good for society. I think these guys getting into boxing and training and taking it seriously and fighting each other, I think there's worth there. I think there's worth in saying, hey, we're all in to this now. Why don't I go down to a gym and take a class? Because, you know, you're getting physically fit. You're learning a skill. Like, on kind of a societal level, I do like that trend because I think that's a better way to spend your time than just, you know, I'm going to play Mortal Kombat on Twitch for a living.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, listen, you know I talked to Bryce Hall, who is an influencer who did BKFC, did bare knuckle, and he did a boxing match and he looked awful. And then right. He goes on and does BKFC and actually has a couple of fights and looks pretty good. I know from talking to Bryce when I interviewed him, he said that he didn't really take it seriously. He was just kind of like having fun with it and doing it. But then he went out there and I'm maybe paraphrasing here, but got his ass kicked. And he's like, I need to take this seriously. So when he got involved again, he took it seriously. He started training with real fighters, training with real trainers. And now he's enjoying it. So listen, I don't expect any of these guys or girls to become, you know, superstar world champion. They're not going to be Alexander Usyk. They're not going to be Terrence Crawford. They're not going to be, you know, the Floyd Mayweathers of the world. They're never going to be that. And that's fine, but they're taking it seriously for them and they're having fun doing it. And the whole, like people saying it's like the sanctity of the sport. Come on now. I mean, Muhammad Ali fought, you know, Antonio Inoki in a weird grappling boxing. This has been going on for decades. Stop pretending there's some sanctity to the sport. It's been happening forever. This is going to happen forever. This is just the latest iteration of Ali versus Inoki.
Did you see Tyson Fury singing American Pie at Fight Circus in Thailand? I mean, there's some fun to be had inside of this sport. I haven't spoken to you on the show since Quasi. The dust settled around Quasi. I'll tell you what, man. Yeah. You're climbing to new heights tonight. How did that end up? That was a Hulu movie, right? How did that end up doing for Hulu? All of my listeners loved it. It was hilarious. I've watched it 5 or 6 times since then. Were you pleased with the way that turned out?
I'll tell you this. I am never have been a fan of streaming movies because there feels like a... almost like a socialism element to it.
Okay.
And I'm a hardcore capitalist. So the idea that you could make something and then people would subscribe to a service, those numbers they'll never share with you. And then if one person watches it or 10 billion people watch it, they'll never tell you that either. And so you're kind of like, wait, I know Silicon Valley came down and disrupted our business, but when did we decide to bend over and take it like this? That said, I know streaming services are good because they're making a lot of movies that you wouldn't otherwise normally see. So I can't even tell you. As far as I can tell, a lot of people have seen the movie because I hear comments on the street. And I hope these folks at Hulu got very rich from it.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's a bitter pill to, but I don't know. I have such a glass half empty view of life. I'm like, well, I can't fail. Like, I can't check the box office results and be disappointed. And I've already got my nut because they've already spent the money. So that part of it, I think, sounds intriguing to me, but it doesn't sound like it balances out.
It depends on what kind of guy you are. Like, you know, like you're right. You're right. You can't fail. You're like, right. But nor can you really, like, you know, hit the big time and have them kind of go, wow, you know, I mean, you know, what they say is the way you know if a movie did well is if we make another deal with you.
Okay.
And you're like, that's bullshit. I mean, and they know it too. The reason I'm saying it out loud in front of them is because everybody knows it.
Sure.
Everybody knows.
And if they also are like, well, so then you are the only barometer of whether or not the movie was successful, you, the streaming service, that would be like Cinemark or someone coming to you and being like, well, we'll let you know if the ticket sales did well, if we want another one of your movies. Like, go fuck yourself. There's these other movie theaters that
right.
are involved
and
as
so,
well.
So, you know, what would be more beneficial to us would be to have a ranking and then everybody go, oh, these guys make movies a lot of people see. Let's pay them some money to make one for our place.
Yeah. All right, so I've got to ask you what everybody asks you. Super Troopers 3, I've seen the photos on social media of you guys chopping it up, and you're taking meetings, which is great, and hopefully we get some nice product placement. I don't know if you've seen the movie Smile 2 yet, but you will never be able to get the product placement that they got in that movie for Voss Water, where they built fucking entire segments that meant nothing around that product, which I hope you go and get rich and do that. Maybe that will work in Super Troopers 3. But what is the rollout now? Because I know you're in the throes of this thing, right?
I think we're, you know, it feels like we're getting awfully close to sort of getting that machine funded and up and running for to shoot in the next year. It feels like that. Now, it's not green light yet, but there are a whole bunch of like conversations that happen around the economics right before a movie gets made. And those conversations are happening. So in that movie, you know, it would come out in the theaters and we'd be able to, like, you know, throw our hats in the rings of good old American capitalism.
I'm a favorite of American capitalism, as you know. Do you still enjoy the part of it where, because you guys still work, you get in the bus and you go on the tour. And I mean, the promotion for Super Troopers 2 was like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, you're walking out on concerts I didn't know you're at. You're walking out on television shows, by the way, in full regalia. Like, you're not showing up as Jay. It's like Carl Ramrod pulls up. Like, is that in the plans as well? Do you still enjoy that part of it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you fly to a town, they throw you a party, they screen the movie, and you do a bunch of press. It's fantastic. I mean, it's really, really fun. And I mean, here's the, I mean, we're kind of getting back to streaming, but the good news is that the movie studios, for the most part, have figured out that they can't make as much of a profit by just throwing it on streaming, and that a whole lot of them really, really want to make the theatrical thing happen again. Now, obviously, you got to retrain the audience again. You got to stop giving movies early and all that. But there is a great desire to go back to some version of that old model. Not for Netflix. Not for Netflix. They're big enough to make a profit that way. But everybody else is like, not so much.
Did you see the Tyson fight is on Netflix tomorrow night?
I know. I know. I don't know about it's Jake Paul, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about his fighting history. I know he fought Mayweather to a draw, but that had to be had to be pulling a Hulk Hogan.
That was his brother. That was Logan. But yeah, he was carrying him. But Jake's the one that keeps beating up all the older MMA stars that have retired. That's basically what his claim to fame has been. And look, I said this earlier. We had a guy on talking about the fight. I don't know, man. Like, he could have stayed rich and famous on YouTube. I mean, the fact that he's willing to train for boxing, which doesn't look like any fun to me, and then also get punched in the head, I think there's a modicum of respect that is owed there.
100%. But I have to tell you, I'm a little worried for the fella. Like, you know, if you watch Tyson box in his heyday, it wouldn't matter how old he was.
Sure.
You wouldn't get in that ring. I mean, now, I say this as somebody who seriously contemplated fighting Burt Reynolds. And I was, whatever, I was 35 and he was, you know, 69. He was going to start the fight. He was going to start the fight.
How do I not know this story? How did this come about?
Well, I was directing Dukes of Hazzard.
Right.
And, you know, Burt in reality, and the movies, he's anti-authority. In reality, he's like double anti-authority.
Okay.
And I was the authority on that movie. And so, you know, he had this habit of punching the air by my face. And I know, I talked to a couple directors before I went down there and I'm like, how was that? They're like, well, and I know, you know, if you're in Hollywood, you know about some of the altercations that Burt Reynolds has gotten into with
sure. Director.
So I said to his assistant, I said, is Burt gonna punch me? And he goes, I mean, I've seen it. and I'm like, I said, wow, okay. I said, first of all, I don't want to put the man down, but he's almost 70.
Right.
35. And I will put him down if I have to, and I'll be really sad about it.
Can you imagine beating up the bandit? Can you imagine if you were the guy that beat up the bandit on set?
I had a plan. I was just going to take the one punch, grab him by the lapels, put him down, and just say, okay, we're not doing that. And I was, that was it. I wasn't going to throw a punch. I wasn't going to do anything, right?
Well, you don't like superhero movies, but you were maybe going to direct Ant-Man, right? Like, this is...
No, I don't like superhero movies, and so I made it pretty clear that I wasn't going to direct Ant-Man.
So they, but
I said to them in the meeting, I'm like, so let me just get this straight. The ant is the strong guy, right? And they were like, you know, like these kind of movies. I'm like, I really don't. I said, probably not the guy. So please don't offer me more money than I can refuse.
See, here's why that disappoints me. And you actually, I always give you credit for this, is you were way out ahead of the curve. I was still in the throes of loving superhero movies when you laid that jag on me in the studio. And I was so disappointed because, you know, I clearly care what you have to think about movies. But then 5 years later, I'm like, God, Jay was right. Jesus Christ, was he right? And he was out 5 years ahead of it. The reason why it bums me out to hear you have that conversation is, do you know who Blade is? Wesley Snipes is Blade.
Yeah.
So he's called the Daywalker because he can walk in both worlds. He's human and he's a vampire. You could have gone into Ant-Man and maybe turned it into something that it wasn't, and maybe brought what you are to that movie. And that's kind of like when Kevin Smith directed Cop Out or whatever that fucking film was. I was like, maybe he's going to bring what I like about Mallrats, and it didn't ultimately happen. But I would rather you have taken the swing at that than whomever ultimately ended up doing.
Well, I will say this. I went and saw the film because I'm like, let's see what I missed out on. And my buddy Peyton Reed, who made the one of my favorite films, which is called The Breakup, with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston, he made the movie. And I thought he did a great job. I'm like, oh, I never would have done that. I never would have done all those little things. And if you're going to make a movie, you really have to believe in the premise. And I thought that movie ended up really good. And a little part of me is like, man, I should have done Ant-Man. But the vast majority of me is not saying I shouldn't.
There you have it. Go now to ChadDukeShow.com. Subscribe. Get way more content like that. You know you want to. Go ahead and do it. ChadDukeShow.com.